Good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday of the month. As is our custom, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper as part of our service today. Also, on the wider church calendar, it is a special day, for it is All Saints Sunday, and we'll be recognizing that throughout the service today as well. I'm glad that you're here to worship with us today. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin today the calendar for this week, and that we will be having Bible study on Tuesday, and the diaconate has delayed its meeting from today until next Sunday after the service. You'll also note under the calendar for this week that in 2 weeks, can't believe it's that soon, but that will be Thanksgiving Sunday, and we will be receiving as part of that service donations as a Thanksgiving in-gathering. Donations of food, and those will be going to housing families as they are working with those who are in transition of homelessness into having permanent housing. And so that will be coming up in 2 weeks, so you are invited to, as you do your grocery shopping in the next couple of weeks, pick up some things that you might enjoy for Thanksgiving dinner and plan to share those with those who are working with, who are a part of housing families. Also, on the back page of the bulletin, you will see that the Refugee Immigration Ministries annual international dinner is coming up on the 19th, and there's information there, and you can see Marilyn Glover if you are interested about tickets for that. Also, there is a sign-up sheet on the desks in Judson Chapel during coffee hour today for the White Cross request. If you would like to sign up for some items that our missionaries need as extra items, you're invited to do that. We ask that all donations be brought back by the first Sunday in December so that those items can be delivered in a timely fashion, because some of those will be used in the Christmas season by our missionaries. An update on our World Mission offering, which we promoted last month during October and watched videos most of the Sundays. To date, we have received $759 towards our goal of $800. So almost there. There are envelopes in the pews if you would like to make a gift or make an additional gift. Also, you may want to look in the back wall as you leave today that one of our posters is there, and the mission board has put around thank you messages around that. And there's one little gap right there waiting for one more thank you when we meet our goal of 800. So if you'd like to help us do that, you're invited to do so today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We have come here as people of faith.
Thankful for all those who have gone before us.
We stand in awe of so many who have served faithfully and shared and lived the good news.
May their example and their courage be a guide and model for our living.
Let us now remember and join in holy fellowship as we sing our praise. Our opening hymn this morning is For All the Saints, number 685. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. For all the saints, O God, who from their labors rest, we glorify your name. Vast has been the number of your saints, some famous, most of them unrecorded, except in your book of life. From every people and nation, from every race and tongue, you have gathered them into your kingdom. They were human, surely, but with the aid of your Spirit, they performed great deeds of mercy and offered eloquent witness to your power and love. May we remember those who have gone before us and celebrate those around us who faithfully devote their lives to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, and we now pray together as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time, students in K through 2 may go out, which most of them have already exited or are on their way out the door, excited to leave the sanctuary and go to class, which is good to see, very good to see. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer this morning, and we want to continue to remember Dorothy Huddy. Any update? Is she still hospitalized, your mom? Okay, you want to keep, Chuck's mom is still in the hospital, but you told me on Tuesday her pneumonia is getting better, is better. So we just want to continue to pray for the Huddy family and Chuck's mom, Dorothy, especially. I spoke with Helen Fleet this week, and she wants to be remembered to the church family. Helen's not able to get here very often. She is on oxygen all the time and still struggling with that reality and having trouble accepting that, but did want to be remembered to everybody, so we want to keep Helen Fleet in prayer. Also, our other folks that are not able to get here as often as they wish, we want to keep them in prayer, some that are truly shut in and others just that have limited mobility. And also, we want to keep the Sinclair family in prayer today. Some of you did have already heard that one of our former pastors, the Reverend Dr. George H. Sinclair Jr., his wife Marjorie, passed away beginning of this week, and her memorial service was held on Friday afternoon in Worcester. So we want to keep the Sinclair family in prayer today as they are part of our extended church family, as one of our former pastors and family. So we want to keep the Sinclair family in prayer today. We want to keep our nation in prayer. A lot of incidents of violence this week, from New York City to a lot of gun violence taking place in various communities around the country. So we just want to pray for our nation today as well, as far as the violence that seems to be taking place. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? Okay, if no one, then let's go to God, lifting up something that I've mentioned. Or something else that's on your heart, and let's pray together. Holy God, we come to you this day with a variety of feelings. Some of us may have been frustrated this morning and just had struggled to get out of the house and be here. Others, because of the extra hour of sleep, may feel more rested and more relaxed. Some of us, Lord, may be struggling with an issue of our faith and are coming here seeking answers. And others, Lord, may be coming with so much joy in their hearts that it's just overflowing and just needed to be with other believers this day in worship. And others, oh God, may be hurting so much that they didn't know where else to turn but to you and have come this day. And Lord, those are just a smattering of the myriad of emotions and feelings may be shared among our people sitting here this day, oh God. But as we come to you, Lord, we come and focus our thoughts and our prayers to you. And we offer all the praise and all the glory that is due your name. For you are the wonderful creator, redeemer, and sustainer of us all. And Lord, as we come this day, we recognize that there are challenges and difficulties in our own communities and in our nation and in our world. There seems to be violence wherever we turn, O God, and we pray that there may be peace, starting in our own homes, within our own churches and communities, and branching out from there, O God. We pray that we may be ambassadors of Christ's love to others, showing others that how we can turn the other cheek, how we can forgive someone else, that is what Christ calls us to be doing. Lord, we don't hear a lot about that today in the media. It's more for an eye, or even worse. And Lord, we just pray that we may find ways of disagreeing, but yet finding commonality where we can agree to disagree and move forward with those disagreements. And Lord, we just lift up today those who are ill and pray for your healing in their lives according to your will for them. We also, on this All Saints Sunday, lift up those who have passed from our eyes but are now in your care. We pray especially for those who have been of the faith and those who have touched us in special ways and have helped us in our faith journey as well. And Lord, while they may not have a capital S in their saintly name, we know, O God, that they are your people and they are saints in your eyes. We thank you, Lord, and we pray especially today for the Sinclair family as they are missing and the love of their wife and mother and grandmother, Marge. Just we thank you for her ministry here, for her participation in singing in the choir and all the ways that she reached out to the church family as she and her husband pastored here. Lord, we just thank you for their ministry here. And Lord, we just pray that you are welcoming Marge home to her eternal rest and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, we remember the others. And we pray for those today who are especially feeling the separation from a loved one today and just pray for your spirit of healing and comfort to be with them. And Lord, oh God, now we just lift all of these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, this is the first Sunday of the month, and on those Sundays, we receive two different offerings during the service. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. The ushers receive your tithes and your gifts at this time. Let's pray together. Lord, we present these tithes and gifts to you in gratitude for all of your blessings. We are thankful for the very privilege it is to take everything to you in prayer. We're grateful for the opportunity of coming here to worship you. We pray, O God, in these moments that you will bless us and bless these gifts, that we may take these gifts and use them to share your love with others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. If you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 177 in the back section of the Pew Bible. And I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promise of Holy Spirit. Thus is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks to you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This ends the reading of God's holy word for this morning. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of it. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read these and heard these words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, we pray that we too may receive these words of encouragement and challenge for our days as well, that we may live as faithful people, not in Ephesus, not in the first century, but in the 21st century here in Malden and the surrounding communities. We pray, O God, that we may have the wisdom and the insight from you that may help us in our daily living as being faithful disciples that you have called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier we sang these words, "For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed." As I mentioned earlier, today is All Saints Sunday, the Sunday on the wider church's calendar when we turn our focus to the saints of the church, those traditionally defined to be great role models for faithful discipleship who now enjoy everlasting life with God. But why do we concentrate on saints in heaven only? If we study the Bible, we see that the emphasis is on the saints who are living right here on earth in the present time, when the scripture was written, when we're reading today. In his letter to the Ephesians, a portion of which we read this morning, the Apostle Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints." Whenever Paul speaks of saints, it's with a small s, and he's talking about members of the church, a group of people who have been chosen by God and set apart to do God's work in the world. Saints are holy people, according to Paul, but their holiness does not come from achieving some kind of moral perfection. Instead, they have a holiness that comes from being marked as God's people. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, insists Paul, to be holy and blameless before him in love. God chose us and set us apart. This is such an important insight into saintliness. We know that God is holy because he is set apart from the world and different from everything that he has created. If we follow that logic, then we discover that we as Christians are holy because God has set us apart from the world and given us a mission that is different from other earthly assignments. To be holy is not necessarily to be better than other people, just different. Paul says that we are saints because we are in Christ Jesus with a mission to produce a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The challenge for us is to live lives now among other saints who are at work in the church and in the world today. One of the keys to the Christian identity is that we are holy people serving a holy Lord. The Apostle Peter writes in his first letter these words, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." But what does a holy life look like? If I were to ask you that and give you a list and ask you to list five things, I bet you would come up with some things that we think of being holy. Paul gives us a clue in Ephesians, which I'm guessing might not be on our lists, but they might be. Ephesians is a letter that stresses the holiness of God's people. And Paul writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." So this morning, I'm going to look at three things that is part of being holy and being living like a saint. So So the first sign of a holy life of saintliness is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This means trusting that Jesus is the way to God, but at the same time, taking seriously that this way to God is a lifetime journey. While our conversion and baptism may be a one-moment event, our relationship with Jesus Christ, where Christ is the center of our lives, requires a lifetime to develop. I often tell baptismal candidates, especially those who are teenagers or young adults, that this is a very special day in their lives when they commit themselves to Christ and are baptized. But I tell them that you will have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for what you are doing today if you remain in the faith, future down the road. For as we develop in our faith, we have a greater appreciation for what Christ has done for us. It's a relationship that blossoms and develops over time. It's not something that just get dunked and you're good forever. That's not what Christ calls us to do. Yes, we are to be obedient and to be baptized, but then our commitment to follow Christ the rest of our lives means to be in prayer and relationship with Jesus every day of our lives afterwards. One person has said, "The Christian life is a life of continuing invitation, a life in which Jesus calls us to follow." That's what saints do. Plain and simple, they follow Jesus on the way to God. The second sign of saintliness is showing love toward all the saints. How do we love a saint? Do we take candles to church and light them on holy days? Not in our tradition. We may wonder, don't saints already feel love? Faith and love are the first two qualities that are present in a person who has been chosen by God and set apart to do his work in the world. In the first days of the church, the saints were part of the community of love and concern, one in which love was demonstrated by acts of practical service. One of the first things the early Christians did was to organize a diaconate to make certain that widows and the needy receive some tangible relief. Paul writes to the Roman church, "Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." Early in the church's life, widows in the early Christian community were commended for showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, and helping the afflicted. Paul spearheaded a financial collection for the church in Jerusalem and described it as a special ministry to the saints. Today, as in the earliest days of the church, love needs to be more than a word. Love needs to be more than an emotion. It needs to be an act of practical service. And the third sign of saintliness is having a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's a quality that we can enjoy right here, right now, immediately. "I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul writes to the Ephesian church, "the God, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power?" People who are saints in this life believe that God is always ahead of them, not stuck behind them. And they are constantly seeking to learn what God is revealing to them. We don't have to die and go to heaven before we can have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. We can have it in this world right now. All we need are faith in Jesus, love toward all the saints, and a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Unfortunately, most people think of sainthood as being an honor granted by the Vatican after a long and complex ecclesiastical process. When a person is proposed for Roman Catholic sainthood, and that's a capital S, not a small s, but a capital S sainthood, evidence of that person's virtue must be presented to the hierarchy, along with at least two post-mortem miracles, miracles performed by the intercession of the person after his or her death. Before sainthood is granted to anyone, the Vatican has a trial-like procedure with a lawyer arguing against the canonization of the person. Medical doctors or other professionals must testify that the healings or the deeds are true miracles, unrelated to any scientific intervention. One post-mortem miracle is needed for beatification, the first step towards sainthood, and a second is required for canonization. Then and only then will the Roman Catholic Church bestow this designation of saint with a capital S. But maybe this is way too complicated. The saints, the small s saints that the Apostle Paul talks about, are in a different category. Nothing wrong with the hierarchy in the big S saints. There's nothing wrong with those. But I'm wondering if there aren't other saints to be considered as well. The small s saints, the ones that the Apostle Paul talks about, have found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've demonstrated love toward others, and they have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Post-mortem miracles are simply not required. For that matter, pre-mortem miracles are not required either. We need only to develop faith, love, and a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May we each work toward and claim our sainthood today as we share in the ministry of Jesus Christ with the other saints who are around us and among us. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, we thank you for all those who have come before us, leaving a legacy of faith. Thank you for the myriad ways they modeled for us what it means to love you and love one another. We are grateful for the sacrifices they made, the gifts they shared, and the time they gave to so that your gospel could be proclaimed from this place and among these people. Gracious God, the baton has now been passed to us. Grant us wisdom and discernment and revelation, unity of spirit and courage, that we may continue the good work begun by others. We ask this in Christ's name and for the sake of his kingdom. Amen.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with a Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of the faithful and the evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host of the table, and He invites each one of us with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I came to earth and walked among humanity, eventually being crucified, dying, paying the price for your sins, being buried, rising again, and ultimately ascending to heaven and preparing a place for each of you? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Christ invites all believers to this table. Let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the invitation to come to your table to eat and drink with you. We know that we have not earned a seat here. It is only through your grace and your mercy. Lord, in these moments, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware that we have committed and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We ask now that you would forgive us of our sins. Prepare our hearts and now that we may eat and drink with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, on the last night that he was alive, was having dinner with his disciples in an upper room. Knowing that his time was very short here on earth, he was trying to prepare them for life without him. And the Gospel of John has several chapters of his talking with them that night and praying for them and praying that they would continue his ministry after he was gone. But he wanted to leave something tangible with them that they would be reminded of all that he was about to do for them. So as part of the Passover meal, celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, Jesus took the bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, he began breaking it and telling his disciples, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for us on the cross, that we might be whole, let us eat in memory of him. As the meal continued that night, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks to God for the cup, and told his disciples, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup.
Thank you.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant and life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross and dying for us, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed. We do truly love you, Lord Jesus, and we just pray that we may be faithful followers and demonstrate our love for you in all that we say and all that we do. Amen. Saints have gone before us, and saints are with us now. Ordinary people with laughter in their eyes and confidence in their hearts. Common people with generous hands and listening ears. Tough people with perceptive questions and a passion for truth. Holy ones who radiate love and embody compassion. Saints before us and saints around us. As we leave this time of worship, may we join the saintly ranks and reflect holy light on the paths of others. Amen.